everyone, and welcome to another conversation for keeping them safe. My name is Sharon Doty, and I am here in service of a commitment to create an environment where all children are safe from sexual predators. That's a big job. It's a big mission. It's a big goal, and one that I cannot do on my own. So I'm here to offer you an opportunity to join the game, to get up and in this conversation in such a way that you're part of the solution that creates a safe environment and keeps our children safe from sexual predators over time. I was recently invited to create a conversation for the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, responsible adults at the church I'm participating in. The congregation is probably in the neighborhood of 5,000 or 6,000 families. Maybe 2,000 of them are Hispanic and 3,000 of them are English-speaking. And what we're going to do is create a conversation to give them some grounding in how to apply what they were offered in the programs that the church provided for protecting God's children. Most of the programs being offered these days are simply theoretical and they are informational, but there's no real connection to what it looks like to deal with these questions and these issues on a day-to-day basis. So we're going to create, or we actually have created, two conversations, one that I'll be doing in English and one that I'll do with a Spanish translator. The conversations are called Answering Unanswered Questions. And our intention is to bring to the forefront the questions that are in the back of people's mind about how they can get the job done, if you will, of keeping children safe. So I thought it was a good idea to bring that conversation to the podcast also. So I'm going to take the next few sessions and I'm going to deal with some of these questions that over the years are the questions that typically and almost reliably get asked when I'm presenting a session of keeping them safe or the program we created for the Catholic Church protecting God's children. So I just want to invite you to listen to the questions and then engage yourself in what it is that I'm saying about the answer to that question so that you can maybe settle some unanswered questions for yourself. Maybe there are questions you didn't know you had. So that's going to be what we'll be doing for the next couple of weeks at least. And I want to start with one of the questions that comes up and has come up over the years in almost every session, and that is the problem with child sexual abuse a result of poor parenting? Now, the question gets asked for a couple of reasons. One is that people are always looking for something to blame for this happening, something other than the perpetrators. They want some way they could put their finger on and say, this is it, and once I fix this, everything will be fine. But the other part of that question is the good parents who are asking so that they can be relieved somewhat of the concern for their own children. If it's poor parenting and they're doing a good job of that and they're developing themselves as good parents and they're training and they're looking and listening and they're doing everything they know to do to be a good parent, and poor parenting results in child sexual abuse, then their kids are not at risk. So the question is often there in the background, and sometimes it is spoken, not usually as clearly as we've articulated the question here. Sometimes it's just a comment someone makes, as in one session, an older man stood up and said, well, if parents just did a better job of managing their kids, this wouldn't happen. That is already there in the background for people. And it actually points to this question of whether or not the problem of child sexual abuse is a result of poor parenting. So in answer to that question, there, it's really clear if you look at what happens, how predators get access to our kids, and the problem of child sexual abuse in our society. There's not one thing that is the problem. And all of us would like to know what is the problem. What is the one thing we need to go fix? And let's go fix it. For some people, it is the folks who identify as gay and lesbian or LGBTQ plus. For some people, it is poor parenting. For some people, it is celibacy in the Catholic Church. There are all kinds of things that people bring into the conversation as if we just fix this, the whole thing will go away. But the problem is the problem, and it isn't any one issue that is the problem. You see, people of all kinds exist in our communities who are sexually attracted to children. If you actually think about it and what you've heard over time or seen on the news over time, you know that you are always surprised by who is brought up on charges, who's accused, school principals, coaches, teachers, clergy, responsible people in the community, famous people, government leaders. People of all kinds exist in our community who are sexually attracted to children. Now, beyond that, poor parenting can play a part in making abuse easier to accomplish in a family setting where a parent commits abuse or where a parent knows of abuse and doesn't do anything about it, or where children are isolated and alone or pretty much disregarded by their parents. That group of children is much more vulnerable, but it isn't the problem of child sexual abuse in our society. You see, abuse does happen to the children of good parents. There are good parents who have suffered from their children being abused in situations where they really had little chance to prevent the abuse, or where the abuser did such a great job of securing the parents' trust. So one can never assume that when a child is abused, it's because of poor parenting. Now, parents who take child safety seriously and maintain open lines of communication with children are less likely to have a child abused than a parent who takes child safety lightly or simply thinks it could not happen to their child. I can't tell you the number of people that have told me that if something like this were happening to my child or if someone approached them, my child would tell me. Parents actually believe that. And we know from the research that that is just not the case. Rarely do children tell their parents. If they tell anyone, they tell a trusted adult that they think will not go haywire when they tell them. They're scared of how their parents will respond. They actually believe what predators tell them about people won't believe them, and the predator themselves, who is an integral part of the family quite frequently, will be made to go away or be eliminated from the family. And sometimes that's the actual person who's supporting the family. So it's important for all parents to address touching safety with their children often and keep the lines of communication open as they mature. I love it when I've heard a child say to a parent at age 13 or 14 when they were, you know, we may maybe gathering to go on a ski trip. My husband and I used to sponsor junior high and high school ski trips at the church. And I would hear parents saying to kids, be careful about this and be careful about that. And the kids would say, I got it. You're just repeating yourself over and over. And that would always make me smile because if they're repeating it over and over again, the kids are getting the message and they're getting the message that is going to ring true for them if they find themselves in a compromising or difficult situation. The other thing that's really important in this whole conversation about parenting is for parents to remind their children that they can tell them anything, no matter what anybody says, or no matter what it is. That parents can hear whatever their children have to say. And while they might be angry at an adult for the way they're interacting with that child. Parents must be in a space or must provide a space where their children are given the opportunity to speak up and speak out and let parents know what's going on in their life and where the risks and challenges are, and creating a partnership for that child to grow and develop into an adult who's responsible. That's difficult for us because we have reactions to any risk that our child faces, or our grandchild, or our niece or nephew, or the children we work with in school. We get reactivated by any risk or challenge to them. We get reactivated by anyone who pushes them to the limit or who acts in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable. It's simply critical that we maintain a space where our children know that they are free to tell us anything, and that we also let them know it's okay to tell somebody else if they feel more comfortable doing that. You just need to let them know that that person that they tell needs to tell them. Sometimes they just want to be heard and they're afraid of a parent's response. So they'll speak to an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or a neighbor, a coach, a friend, someone they trust, and invite them to go share it with somebody. So the simple answer to the question, is the problem with child sexual abuse a result of poor parenting, is no. Sometimes poor parenting is a factor, but that doesn't mean that good parents, children are immune from the risk of child sexual abuse. So what's another question that comes up often? Well, one of the questions that then sort of trickles out from that one is, are parents solely responsible for preventing child sexual abuse? Well, as we just were discussing, good parenting alone can't prevent child sexual abuse. In fact, if we rely on parents alone, we're actually putting our children at a serious disadvantage. Think about how much time as a parent you actually spend in the company of your children in any given day, and how many other adults they interact with on a regular basis. See, parents need help. They need help from those other caring adults, and they need help from other caring adults, because child sexual abuse is a societal issue. It's not a parenting issue. You know, eventually a child must integrate into society outside the watchful eyes of good parents. And because children, even good children with good parents, do childish things, it's important that other caring adults, like teachers and coaches and principals and counselors and ministers and aunts and uncles and grandparents who interact with children, look after their child's safety and recognize the things that put children at risk. And, you know, another thing to be aware of and to be conscientious about is, potential abusers know that their success depends on developing a trust relationship with the adults closest to the child. A relationship of trust can totally blind a parent to the risky behaviors that are exhibited by a potential predator. We've talked a number of times already about that community grooming aspect, about the way that predator cultivates a relationship in the community that has people overlook or look beyond the behaviors that might raise concerns in another circumstance or situation. That's why third parties are important allies of caring, loving parents in the job of protecting children. Now, although we all share responsibility, parents remain being the primary caretakers of their children. And, you know, parents play a major role in the development of their children. To reduce the risk of child sexual abuse, One of the things parents have to do over time is help their child develop safety skills that make them less vulnerable. And we're actually going to talk about that in a few weeks. What kinds of things can you do developmentally to empower your children to deal with a potential predator inside that fourth element that we spoke about a few times? And that is that the element, the fourth element that must be present for abuse to occur, is that the predator has to be able to overcome the resistance of the child. So we're going to give you some hints and tools for how do you empower your children to be less vulnerable to those attacks. But in addition to playing a major role in the development of their child, we're the ones responsible for the well-being of our children. I was writing the answer to a question today in a project I'm working on for my kids, answering questions about my life, and they'll be put in a book next year for them. And one of the questions was about what my experience was of being a parent for the very first time. And in actually looking at that, actually answering that question, you know, I started really to realize that my children are in their 50s, 51, 53, 55 years old, and their well-being is still at the forefront of my thinking, my concern, my thoughts about them. So when we say that parents are responsible for the well-being of their children, that doesn't end when they're small children. However, when they are young, it is important that we closely evaluate all the people who are interacting with those children and do whatever we can to decrease their risk. Now, I say all that, and then the next question that comes up is, do children share any responsibility for preventing abuse? Well, we already know that one of the elements that we can attack or impact, if you will, is the fourth element, which is empowering our children to resist the overtures of a predator. But that doesn't mean that children are responsible for preventing abuse. That means that as good parents and responsible adults and caring grandparents and aunts and uncles, we are about developing our children into responsible, caring adults. A child is never responsible, never responsible for being sexually abused. Let me say that again. A child is never responsible. And there are some of you out there who are listening to this going, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, they said, or the parents said, or the kids said, no, a sexual relationship between an adult or an older child and a child is one-sided. The adult or the older child has all the power. That has the power physically, and in most cases, emotionally and mentally over the child. Now, when we empower our children to stand up for themselves, to say no, run away and tell somebody, to stop what's happening or stop the interaction and go somewhere and tell another person, then that child can help in the world of prevention. That child can help protect themselves if he or she understands what are and are not proper boundaries between adults and children. So that then reminds us as parents that we've got to teach those boundaries to our kids. That's what teaching, touching, safety, and educating children about proper boundaries is in service of. Even with that training, however, we can never depend solely on children to prevent sexual abuse or to protect themselves from would-be predators. So, teaching children touching safety and educating them about proper boundaries in any adult-child relationships are important ways to fulfill on that fourth element we just spoke about, There are important ways to empower children to resist the overtures of an offender. Well, that seems like a lot for one conversation, doesn't it? I think that it's a real opportunity for us to look at some of these questions inside what we've been articulating and bringing forth in the conversations for protecting children and for keeping them safe. I think it's really critical that we stop and look, okay, well, we've looked at all of this, but what about these things? What about these things here that I haven't really articulated, but they're sort of in the back of my mind and I haven't really brought them forward? And that's a critical, critical, critical piece of the process of us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles becoming the world of safety for our children and grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and the kids, the other kids in our life that are engaged with our children. So remember that our goal, our purpose here is to actually empower everyone who is an adult and cares about kids to be part of keeping them safe. Having said that, I also just want to make you aware that we are beginning a single purpose Kiwanis Club that is going to have as its focus spreading the word about keeping them safe throughout Kiwanis and across the world internationally. If you are interested in participating in that effort, please send me an email to SWD, keeping them safe, all one word, at gmail.com. Let me say that again. If you're interested in being part of the effort to bring this conversation to the Kiwanis world, just let me know by sending me an email to SWD, keeping them safe, at gmail.com. So until next time, when we gather together to continue our effort to develop ourselves as the people who create safe environments for all our children, I wish you well, and I look forward to speaking to you next time as we work together to keep them safe.